San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, October 13, 2019. Today's lesson is Whole, Complete, and Perfect with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty, one absolute, indestructible, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And I say that almost every Sunday. I actually forgot to say it last week. I know, shock. I was listening to the recording. I thought, wait a minute, where's my one power? So, last week was spiritual integrity. So there was so much other great spiritual information in there. I'm sure that it was covered somewhere. But there is that one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence, which flows through all creation. I call that God, the Living Spirit Almighty, one absolute, indestructible, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. We are that same being that is the divine, that infinite intelligence, that infinite love that flows throughout and is the entire universe. That's what you're made of. That's what inspires you. That is the integrity of the universe from which you spring. So, this month we are continuing our theme for October, which is integrity. And there are several different interpretations and definitions of the word integrity. I shared some last week. But what most often will come to mind is the concept of incorruptibility, which involves honesty, virtue, truthfulness, honor, and morality. Now, we talked about what morality was last week, and so it isn't an overarching morality that is forced on the universe. It is when we look at our close environment, our close cultures, that's the morality that we think comes with integrity. But integrity is so much more. It is honesty. It is virtue. It is the truthfulness or the accuracy. And I will be talking more about the spiritual living values over the next few weeks. But today, we're going to continue exploring the other concept of integrity, which implies universal wholeness, undivided completeness, and something that is in absolute perfection. So universal wholeness, undivided completeness, and absolute perfection. And so today, our lesson, conveniently, is whole, complete, and perfect. Now, whole, complete, and perfect is a phrase used, but so is perfect, whole, and complete. So we've got perfect, whole, and complete, whole, complete, and perfect. Guess what? It's the same thing. No matter what order you put those words in, it's the same thing. Eckhart Tolle is the author of a couple of books, The Power of Now and A New Earth. And he says, life is your deepest inner being. It is already whole, complete, perfect. Life, your deepest inner being, already whole, complete, and perfect. And today we're going to embody those words in a new way. And how to live a life of integrity, a life of wholeness, completeness, and spiritual perfection. So integrity means the quality or state of being unbroken, unified, unadulterated, and unimpaired. That's an awful lot of uns. So kind of makes you think that anything that is unlike the truth is unlike integrity. Nothing can be added to integrity. Nothing can be taken away because it is in itself that same divine perfection. As I said last week, it's the wholeness, the state of being, complete, honest, and sincere. It's a sound, unimpaired, or perfect condition, like the integrity of a ship's hull. Now, in this definition, the word integrity, it is derived from the early 16th century Latin word integer, which means something that is intact, integrus, something that is undivided and complete. Now, we know that integrus is a word because we found it in a 1600s, which I believe is the 17th century dictionary. Integrus is truly a word. It's an adjective of integrity. But it's something that is intact, that is undivided, that is complete. Nothing can be added, nothing can be taken away. We know the universe as we know it is the entirety of all existing matter, all energy, all space, all time, you name it, it's it. It is everything. It is the infinite, the eternal, the all in all. So, this cosmic, intergalactic, infinite, and immense environment of spirit is the universe. And we live and move and have our being within the universe, within spirit, as an expression of spirit. So, by its own very, very own nature, spirit, the universe, is whole, complete, and perfect unto itself. It is whole, complete, and perfect unto itself. That's what spirit is. There's nothing else for it to be. I mean, if it was missing something, it couldn't be infinite because there'd be something out there that it was missing. If it had a hole in the hole, there would be a gap, which would again imply something missing. And if the universe is rolling along and trips, it has to trip over something, which implies it isn't whole, it isn't perfect. So, yes, it's whole, it's complete, and it's perfect. The universe as we know it is an integrated totality of oneness, a complete symphony of wholeness and perfection. It's also been said that the universe is one unified song, one harmonic verse, a universe. It's perfect in rhythm, it is perfect in rhyme, it is whole, it is complete, and it is perfect every way. Every way. So you can, as we're talking about this magnificence of the universe and its perfection, we might think, well, okay, that's really awesome. That's amazing. That's wonderful because it is. It is. But you might think, that's fascinating and interesting to know, but so what? So what? I have bills to pay. I have health issues to deal with. I have deadlines to meet. I have people, places, and things that need to be taken care of. And all of that is true. And that's the practicality from a practical perspective, from a human perspective. And here's the wisdom in today's lesson. You and I have the spiritual responsibility, authority, and accountability. We have the responsibility, authority, and accountability to recognize, realize, and demonstrate the truth of spiritual integrity. You and me. Me and you. That's our job, man. So remember, we are the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, and we must practice and live this philosophy. Our meetup group is called Practical Spirituality. And there's a reason for that. Spirituality is not just a concept, it's everything, it's who we are. And yet, we live in at least three-dimensional world, having a human experience. And so regardless of the appearances of the situations and the conditions that show up in our everyday life, for you and me, for all of us to remain in spiritual integrity, we must individually and collectively align with the universal principles of truth. Because it is so much better to be in alignment with the truth than in opposition to the truth. When we know the truth will set us free. The truth is, as I said, we are spiritual, immortal beings. But we are having this human experience. And part of the human experience is to remember that eternal truth that is a part of who we are. Our very essence, our divine essence, is everything that God is, everything that the universe is. So today, all of us have an opportunity to declare with conviction these words: I am whole, complete, and perfect. Are you ready to make that claim for yourself?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Yes or yes. Okay, so place your hand on your heart and affirm with me. I am whole, complete, and perfect.
I am whole, complete, and perfect.
My life reflects spiritual integrity.
My life reflects spiritual integrity.
As radiant health.
As radiant health.
Abundant prosperity.
Abundant prosperity.
And creative expression and success.
And creative expression and success.
And so it is. Yes, so it is. You have named it. You have claimed it. You have recognized the truth that you are whole, complete, and perfect. Your life reflects spiritual integrity. Well, it has to, because that's what your life is. It is a part of the spiritual integrity, of the universal integrity. And so we claim these things such as radiant health and abundant prosperity and creative expression and success because those are the nature of the divine. That is spirit's natural state of being. Radiance, abundance, creativity, divine expression, and of course success. God can't fail. There is no such thing. It's like when there's an event that is supposed to be quote-unquote perfect. And if I'm attending or participating or whatever in such an event, and I think, ew, then I have to remind myself that by definition, whatever this is perfect. And so who am I to claim that what I'm seeing is not perfect? Wedding days are perfect. My wedding day was perfect, regardless of what it looked like, regardless of what it felt like. And in retrospect, it was absolutely perfect for me and the man I was marrying. It was our perfect day. It wasn't in a gigantic cathedral. We didn't have a 50-piece orchestra. We had us. We had our truth. We had our friends. It was perfect. So you can see perfect can be in the eye of of the beholder. Ernest Holmes was teaching practitioners, and he said, he opened his class up with, "The perception of wholeness depends on your point of view. The perception of wholeness is the consciousness of healing, and it depends on your point of view." He also said, "There is nothing to be healed, only truth to be revealed." So today we're going to be looking at three concepts of whole, complete, and perfect. The first is universal wholeness is your natural state of being. The second is undivided completeness is the truth of who you are. And the third, life is perfect God, perfect man, perfect being. Now, we who have studied the science of mind and become practitioners and ministers know that is one of the core statements that we simply know. Life is perfect God, perfect man, perfect being. So let's evaluate each of those concepts and its impact upon our lives. Universal wholeness is your natural state of being. It's been said that nature is the best indication that God and life is whole, complete, and perfect. Some of you may be familiar with the name Alice Walker. In 1983, The Color Purple won the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction, making Alice Walker the first African-American woman to win, as well as being honored by the National Book Award. Alice is quoted as saying, "In nature, nothing is perfect, and yet everything is perfect. Trees can be contorted, bent in weird ways, and they are still beautiful. It all comes down to your point of view." Ernest Holmes, founder of the religious science movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook, always did say the perception of wholeness is the consciousness of healing. And that means that we must turn our attention to the wholeness and the perfection of life. Wholeness means to be free of woundedness or injury. Wholeness means unreduced and unbroken completeness or totality. As human beings having a spiritual experience, we are always in a relationship with the whole. And because we're always in a relationship with the whole, we're always in a relationship with its parts, even when the forms change. It's like, where's she going with this? Well, here's where she's going with this. A table has four legs. A table with a broken leg still remains a table. A table with only three legs can still function as a table. A table with only two legs can be propped up against a wall. But a table with all four legs removed becomes a flat piece of wood. So the question becomes, at what point did it cease to be a table? When did it stop being a table? Or did it? This fan is our San Diego Center for Spiritual Living heart-shaped fans. It's composed of two parts. See, it's got the heart and it's got the handle, and the paper heart is stapled to the handle. So two parts. If I were to remove the handle, does it remain a fan? Pretend you can't see it. Okay, get some head nods here. It does remain a fan. Think about that for a moment. If it's hot enough, it can still function as a whole, complete, and perfect fan. So can any sheet of paper. Regardless of the appearance, life remains whole, complete, and perfect exactly as it is, even when its form changes. And a lot of things, a lot of forms change on things that are pure truth. Some healers and mystics have discovered what's now called the wholeness principle. And the wholeness principle is something that causes your physical, mental, emotional, and social systems to strive for and achieve unity. The wholeness principle is activated to restore wholeness when you've been violated, as in the case of physical or emotional trauma. When you feel you have been violated, the wholeness principle can help you put yourself back together. In chapter 14 of the Science of Mind textbook titled Physical Perfection, Ernest Holmes wrote the following: "Man will deliver himself from sickness and trouble in exact proportion to his discovery of himself and his true relationship to the whole." I'll say that again. Man will deliver himself from sickness and trouble in exact proportion to his discovery of himself and his true relationship to the whole. In other words, healing and wholeness depends upon your conscious awareness that life happens through you, not to you. So healing and wholeness is a conscious agreement you make with infinite intelligence that already dwells within you. Universal wholeness is your natural state of being. Say that after me. Universal wholeness,
universal wholeness
is my natural state of being. Amen. And so it is. Okay, so the second concept is undivided completeness is the truth of who you are. Throughout history, the masters, the mystics, the wise ones have known that God is all there is. They didn't always call it God, but that's the idea. There is one. God is all there is. It's one, it's collective and universal consciousness. There are no you, me, us, and them. There is only one power, one power, one presence, which flows through all creation. So you and I are individualized expressions of the one power and the one presence. You are an individualized expression of the divine. You are one power. You are one presence. You are part of that infinite intelligence. You are. And so am I. It's important to remember that regardless of your appearance, your personality, your shape, your form, or condition, you do not need anything or anyone to complete you. You do not. There's a children's story by Shel Silverstein, and it's titled The Missing Piece. It's a great story. I love it. It has metaphysical truth all over it. In fact, many of his poems and stories do. So, The Missing Piece. The story centers on a circular animal-like creature that is missing a wedge-shaped piece of itself. Like a Pac-Man. It's got that pie wedge cut out of it. So it set off in search of its missing piece. And it starts out on a grand adventure, searching for the perfect piece to complete itself. But after the circle finally finds the exact size wedge that fits it, it begins to realize that it can no longer do the things it used to enjoy doing. It decides that it was happier when searching for the missing piece than actually having it. So it gently puts the piece down and continues happily searching. So how many times do we search outside of ourselves for completion? How many times have we heard couples, one say about the other, "They complete me. He completes me. She completes me." Well, you weren't missing anything in the first place. But if that's what you choose to believe, more power to you. So the missing piece is a simple story that deals with the concept of integrity, wholeness, completion, perfection, and fulfillment. It also means that no one should try to find all the answers in one place or in one person. And that no one should attempt to fill the empty spaces that are not really empty at all. They are not really empty at all. So remember the spiritual affirmation, "There is no spot where God is not." Yeah, it's a cute one, rhyming, and it helps people to remember. God is the center and the circumference of all life. There is no void in the spiritual heart of the universe. And so the third concept reveals the spiritual integrity that proclaims life is perfect God, perfect man, perfect being. Throughout the Science of Mind textbook, Dr. Ernest Holmes uses that phrase, perfect God, perfect man, and perfect being, because it captures the essence and the truth that perfection is evident throughout all life. Dr. Holmes, quote, he also wrote, "The truth is indivisible and whole. God is complete and perfect. A perfect cause must produce a perfect effect. If the spiritual universe were not perfect, it could not exist for a single moment." Now think about that. If it were not perfect, it couldn't exist. Because it is a perfect cause, creates a perfect effect. Now in the Science of Mind glossary, it's written that perfection is the real state of being, so complete that nothing is wanting. And I like that. I like that. Now, please know that the meaning of perfection in New Thought terms does not mean life has to be perfect, the point of obsession. I'm not talking about being a perfectionist, a person who is displeased by anything that does not meet extremely high standards. You know, that's what a perfectionist is. And as soon as they think something has reached perfection, they raise the standard. Because they are stunned that something actually was thought to be perfect. But that's okay, because human standards are all incorrect. There is not a single man-made standard that measures perfection. None of them. They measure what we conceive, not the truth. And in the perfection of spirit, the perfection of nature, and the perfection of simplicity itself, that's what we talk about when we say whole, complete, and perfect. That kind of perfection, spiritual perfection. So I'd like to share with you some seemingly random passages from the Science of Mind textbook that are in alignment with the spiritual integrity of the words whole, complete, and perfect. This is on pages 33 and 34. There is that within every individual which partakes of the nature of the universal wholeness, and insofar as it operates, is God. That is the meaning of the word Emmanuel, the meaning of the word Christ. There is that within us which partakes of the nature of the divine being, and since it partakes of the nature of the divine being, we are divine. We will say then that in spirit man is one with God. But what of the great law of the universe? If we are really one with the whole, we must be one with the law of the whole, as well as one with the spirit of the whole. The mind we discover within us is the mind that governs everything, and we should recognize its simplicity. Okay, so then we will go here to page 309. Start with this simple proposition. The nature of God, of man, and of being is perfect, harmonious, whole, perfect God, perfect man, and perfect being. And in treatments, conform your thought to this idea. Then let the treatment be a moving thing, a series of thoughts or statements followed by realization. And we can go to page 463. Life is one perfect wholeness. The universe is a unit. God is one. It is impossible for man to feel separated from the spirit without feeling lost and in want. This is why Jesus said he could do nothing of himself, but could work only as the currents of divinity ran through his personal mentality. It is only as we live in conscious union with the Spirit and consciously let it work through us that we really live. And finally, page 218. It is easy to believe that God is perfect. We must also believe that the spiritual man is perfect. And since it is difficult to believe that the objective man is perfect, we must confine our statements to a realization of the spiritual perfection of man. Consequently, our outlook on life must be transformed by the renewing of mind. We must still maintain a calm serenity of thought. We must relight the torch of our imagination by fire caught from heaven. We must remain faithful to this vision, for a realization of the presence of God is the secret power in our work. It's the secret power. You wanted to know what your secret power was, what your superpower was? It's the realization of the divine. Raymond Charles Barker was a minister in New York, and he had what are called Barkerisms. They were published in a book called Potent Statements, and it's just a whole bunch of little quotes. I have two that I would like to share with you. Perfection is evolution. It is never a state of being. It is a motivation and not an experience. And he was talking about humanity, human perfection. You can't really say that humanity in its human form, in its human experience, is perfect. We must go, like we learned, to the spiritual perfection. And as we recognize the spiritual perfection, our inner knowing grows and evolves. And as we align with that knowing of our spiritual perfection, we are evolving in our wisdom. And then Raymond Charles Barker gets straight to the point. He says, we are living, walking, talking, loving expressions of God. Living, walking, talking, loving expressions of God. And he's right. He's absolutely right. We are spiritual, immortal beings having this human experience. We're living, we're walking, we're talking. We love. This is it. Now, as students of the science of mind, philosophy, and teaching, it's important that we recognize the imperfections in life without giving it any power. Recognize them. Say, yes, I see that circumstance. I see that situation. That doesn't mean I believe it has any power. Because I know that there is only one power. One presence, one infinite intelligence. That's all there is. We have, you and I, the spiritual responsibility to reveal integrity, wholeness, completeness, and perfection in every area of our lives. It's who we are. It's who the divine is within us. So we can not develop attachments to those things that appear to be imperfections in our life. We can remain in alignment with the truth of who we are and reveal that integrity, that wholeness, completeness, perfection, every part of our lives, every day. So next week, we're going to continue our theme of integrity, and the lesson will be called Playing by the Rules. That should be fun. So thank you for your time and your attention this morning. Namaste.